Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along to episode 220 of the Milk Bar. Jason Forrest and this week David Evans with me. Hello.
Hello.
Zoe's off ill.
Yeah.
Feeling rather unwell. Instead, you were here to be a guest, so I've roped you in to help.
It's like Doctor Who. She's regenerated into...
No, I wouldn't class as a regeneration. No. But there we are. So, many of the gang, there's obviously various co-hosts we have, and we did this to Steve. Now, Steve's a regular co-host when he can get to join us now, because he got roped into joining in when Zoe was off ill 1 week as well. So you never know. I could have the phone ring. Yeah.
I'm on the list now.
You see my number come up, you know not to take the call.
Okay.
Right, there we go. Right, what's coming up on the show this week?
Well, we're talking to the mayor, aren't we? Mayor of Wolverhampton about cakes.
Yes, our mayors and cakes always seem to get together fairly well. Also in the studio, Ty Matthew Harris, you'll be here later. Hello. You've been up to stuff again, haven't you?
I always am, Jason. It's just that's how I roll. I'm just around the area.
We were going to get you in wearing shorts for Zoe, but...
You can tell her. It's not illness, it's laziness.
Yeah, shocking.
And I've just had my eyebrows waxed and she's not here to put on it.
She does like your eyebrows, doesn't she?
She does. She comments every time.
But we'll be finding out about where you're on stage in the near future a little later on. Okay, cool. We also have music from our featured band, who are...
All Thought Out.
Alex Hadley joining us on the phone for a bit of a chat a bit later on. Neil Innes, I met up with him at the Robin 2 a short while ago. I'll play you out of that in a minute or two's time. First of all, something to tell you about. Do you remember Fawlty Towers?
Yes. Is that, and no.
Wait, so you're only 30, so... Was it 30?
No, 26.
You're only 26? Yeah. Wow, I got you down.
I think that's the first time someone's ever... told to me I look older.
I know, I don't think you look older. It's just I've forgotten how old you actually were.
Okay.
Because I've known you for decades now. It's
technically 10 years.
Yeah, over 10 years.
Yeah, yeah.
It must be 10 or 11 years. So that's what's confusing me.
All right.
Because you always behave like a grown up, you see, as well.
All right.
It's a compliment, okay?
I stayed within the rules. Yeah.
That's the way. Yeah. So, Fawlty Towers, though, was. A comedy show from the 70s, for your benefit.
Yeah.
Start who? Come on, here's the quiz.
John Cleese.
Yes. Now, there is actually a group who do a tribute to the whole Basil Fawlty and entourage.
Yeah.
Now, they are apparently Britain's number one Fawlty Towers tribute act, and they are bringing Fawlty Towers the dinner show to Wolverhampton.
I've heard about this, actually. I was in a stag do in Brighton a few weeks ago, and there was with the hotel we stayed at, there was loads of advertisements of this experience, and I thought, actually, I'd love to stick around and just... and see it.
Well, it is actually taking place on Wednesday the 18th of September here in Wolverhampton. There's a 12:30 show and a 7:30 show, so you can go along for lunch or on the evening. And I think the evening is either sold out or very close to being sold out, so you need to get in touch quickly. This has been put together in association with the Grand Theatre. Wolverhampton Mercury at Goldthorne Hotel is the actual venue for it, so you go along for a three-course meal and a side-splitting afternoon of five-star comedy and entertainment.
Oh, okay.
As well as some blooming great food as well. It sounds interesting and different.
I wonder whether they kind of interact with the meal and say, do they serve?
Apparently there is no danger, because I'm actually going along to the lunchtime one. There is no danger of ending up with food down here.
Okay.
Unless, of course, you're just a messy eater.
Yeah.
So in my case, there's a good chance I'll end up with food down me. But so the performance takes place around you during the meal. And if you do want to get along, you need to have a chat with them at the Grand Theatre. It's actually priced at £39.50, and that does include your three-course meal. There is a discount for Friends of the Grand, pricing at £37.50 if you're a member. And there's a fixed £3 fee per transaction on all bookings except those made in person at the box office at the Grand, as ever. Their phone number, 01902 429212, or you can pop along to grandtheatre.co.uk and find out more and have a chat with them. But these guys have been featured up and down the country, and they've even performed at Hotel Gleneagles, which is, of course, where the idea for Fawlty Towers came from.
Yeah.
Even though it wasn't the hotel you saw at the start of the show, that's where Basil Fawlty's character was first conceived in the shape of the gentleman who ran that place, along with his wife, and who got immortalised by Basil and Sybil Fawlty in the show. So I'm actually taking my dad along, because he loves all the Fawlty Towers and all that sort of stuff. So it should be a really interesting afternoon's comedy.
It sounds like it could be a hilarious yet surreal experience, because you'll be eating there thinking that you're actually on the TV show. And you're thinking, you're not on the TV show. It'd be very...
It'll be different, but it'll be quite good fun, I'm sure. And as I say, I have already been told it's interactive, but it won't affect your enjoyment of your food.
Okay. Okay.
So if you want to get along, it is the lunchtime showing that you need to get along to see Wednesday, the 18th of September, 01902 429212. The telephone number for the box office, or contact grandtheatre.co.uk. And remember, it's not actually at the Grand, it's at the Mercure Wolverhampton Goldthorne Hotel. That's on Penn Road in Wolverhampton. WV3OER when it comes to punching it into your sat nav to get there. Now, another one from before your time.
Yeah.
You being 26. is the Bonzo Dog Doodah Band. But you've actually met up with our next guest, because he actually went into the student radio station, which is where I know you from. We'll talk about it a bit more later on. When he turned up with Phil Jupiter and Sinead Edmondson a while back.
It was good morning, actually. I think we were all there bleary-eyed to get there. But it was a fantastic morning to meet all three of them as well.
Good. And they were great fun to have a chat with. And as Neil was this time. So this is Neil Innes from the Bonzo Dog Doodah Band.
With Neil Innes, who's currently on tour as The Ruttles. And you travel around in many different guises, but this is probably one of the most enjoyable ones for you.
I don't get the opportunity that often to sort of play with the band these days. I mean, the last time I sort of played with the band was the Bonzo reunion. But in between that, I've been, you know, doing my solo work, you know, and that's quite an interesting thing. As you know, well, you'll be the judge, but I mean, I try to give different themes to the shows, and one of them that was most successful, both here and in America, was A People's Guide to World Domination. You know, so I like looking at history and then sort of seeing where we are today and just asking a few questions, you know, and including immature themes like blowing raspberries and thumbing your nose. So in any way, the Ruttles now is a kind of another kind of raspberry blowing, you know, thumbing a nose at the serious side of pop music. There's no serious side of pop music. Grow up, you know. I mean, every now and again you do get a song that catches everybody's imagination, reminds them, you know, of their morality and empathy and all the rest of it. But most of it's froth, you know. But the Ruttles are sort of a people band, really, because our experience of the Beatles is everybody's experience of the Beatles. And in a way, it's like kids playing in the sandpit or dressing up playing cowboys and Indians. We just do this, you know, but it's like through a mirror, if you like, in another way. And the songs are equally about important things, like some of the Beatles songs were, like Imagine. You know, there's some fabulous Beatles songs, and I'm a huge fan of their music. But not a fan of the fandom, of the hysteria, the Beatlemania. So it came about because it was getting silly with the Beatles, somebody offering them $20 million each to get back together. And so, and George Harrison felt the same. Things just happened. And so something sillier had to be done. And all the fates conspired to make it very easy, because you'd never get the permission or the budget to make it nowadays. Mm-hmm. You know, no, you just wouldn't. You know, but it just happened, and everybody involved in it knew what to do. So, yeah, it's got to be one of my favourite projects we've ever done.
And it's a project that keeps coming back and giving more, because you had the anthology, archaeology stuff back in the 90s. So, and this tour now, is it just a bit of an excuse to go out and enjoy yourself, though, and get on the road, though, as much as anything else?
It's by popular demand.
Well, no, I know that the audience love it, and I know they're going to be filling the place tonight at the venue we're at the moment. Is it, though, that you're constantly getting badgered by email, text message, via your website for this sort of thing too now these days?
Well, but mostly, you know, people keep asking, when's In This Book of Records coming back on TV?
Well, yeah.
But we got some petitions going there, and my spies at the BBC tell me that they have transferred it to DigiBeta, which is not cheap, so they haven't lost it, we know that much. But no, this little tour came about because Bill Heckel, who runs Beatle Week and Cavern City Tours in Liverpool, said, you know, I don't know how to ask, but is it possible to get the Ruttles together again? Because I'd love to sort of, you know. I said, well, I don't know, I'll ask, you know, but I get... Barry Wong, John Halsey, to organise it, because I'm really busy and it's herding cats. But anyway, Bill said, all right, we'll pay you this, and we'll fly over Rattling Ken Thornton, our guitarist who knows it, who really is the closest person we know to playing like Ollie Halsall, who was Leppo, the original Ruttle, but he's sadly no longer with us. And Ricky Fattar is the drummer with Bonnie Raitt, you know, and Eric really wasn't part of the music. So we've done a few things, and so it happened. And we thought, well, why rehearse for one night? And then all of a sudden we got eight. And that's why I'm sounding a bit rock and roll throat at the moment. But this is, about four of, in a string of them. This is like the 60s. You know, I went through the 60s.
You were there.
Yeah, and now I'm going through them again.
But you've always got another project. You had the Idiot Bastard Band a couple of years back. Yeah. And that one itself, must have been an interesting one to try and pull together. And you've got mates who will do this sort of stuff.
Yeah, well, there's a drawback to fun-driven things, because no one thinks of anything as being a kind of career move or anything. But I think after we'd done the Bonzo tour, Adrian and Phil, they loved that tour, and I said, well, blimey, you're Bonzos now, And so they were very happy to be Bonzos, and we kept in touch by having lunch every 6 months and then recovering. But then we suddenly thought, why don't we get a little pub band together, for fun and celebrate the comedy song, the novelty song. So we did that for a bit, and that really well, and people dropped in. And then we did a few like little club dates, and then we put a tour together, which we did last year, November, December time. We thought that was great, so let's do some more. And we looked in our diaries, and there wasn't one date in 2013 where actually, we could get together. The only thing we are doing, we're going to do a pilot for Radio 4 of the Idiot Bastard Band, and we've been told we're not allowed to say the name of the band.
But it's a proper word, you can say in the news.
Of course you can. I mean, it's Shakespeare, it's all over it, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't understand a lot of things these days,
But I'm sure worse things have been said before the watershed on Radio 4.
Well, I don't know what you can say on your thing, but we were talking about it. Phil thought it was ridiculous. He said, we're allowed four f***s on Buzzcock. So I said, well, that's easy. We'll call ourselves the 2.5 f***s.
Maybe Radio 4 wouldn't even go with that. It'd be nice if they did.
Yeah.
But how does this fit in with any other work that you've got going on at the moment? Because I grew up listening to you on Puddle Lane and with Raggy Dolls and all that sort of stuff. So anything else happening in that line?
I loved all that. But no, I'm actually, like Ron Nasty, I'm turning my back on television. Television has got unspeakably up its own sort of philosophy.
Yes.
And what I've been doing is the solo shows. I'm doing another one called Another Chance to Get It Right. But I'm actually going to be filming a show next month where, because there's so much audience involvement, I would love to do the thing, but mainly we're filming it so we get the audience involvement. It's going to be much on them as it is on me for a bigger project called Show Me the Sanity.
Right.
Which is a kind of documentary which is sort of, it's narrative led, but so we don't know the ending of it, but we're basically asking the question, is humanity capable of making the world a better place?
Mm-hmm.
And with various strands we go through things, and we ask people who are in the know, primatologists who study apes, because we are apes, we are the apes who play with fire. We played with fire, we made metal, we make glass, we tap things, but we still can't get hold of our phone service. Can't be sure. So it's not a perfect world. But, I mean, you've also got this kind of the wonderful net, the internet, and the little thumbs up and thumbs down thing. Is it possible to sort of get a golden scenario going of problems in the world where you can say, well, what are the answers? And try and get enough people to say, well, that could be the answer, or at least address it. So we sort of actually raise ourselves above this kind of herd of consuming that we've allowed ourselves to become. And we also, the goals of life, seem to be wealth and celebrity. Whereas the best ideas go right back to Seneca and Socrates. Seneca said something along the lines of, we should be measuring wealth not by how much we've got, but how little we need. And we need to start doing that. There's 7 billion of us, mm-hmm. potentially capable of communicating with each other. I'm just arguing for we communicate about something that might be more worthwhile and in everyone's interest, rather than the few billionaires. Apparently, Tony Hawks is keen on this too. There's about 1,000 billionaires in the world,
yeah.
1,500 maybe,
mm-hmm.
really billionaires, and about 5% of them, like Warren Buffett and the Windows man, Bill Gates,
yeah.
are trying to do something.
Mm-hmm.
But that's only 5%.
You want the rest on board as well.
I think they could look at it as a tax dodge or something.
we want better taxation loopholes.
I'm not saying I know the answer. That's why.
That's what comes out of this. Crowdsourcing of the answer.
Exactly. Like a good teacher who doesn't necessarily have to know the answer, but you have to know where to look. Mm-hmm. So I want this film to sort of go bit by bit, and I think I've got enough chums that can raise enough money to do it bit by bit. And as it gathers momentum, I think, and more people get on board, I think, and it's going to be a non-profit making thing. It's not a career move, but it's sort of, if somebody doesn't ask the question, it'll be silly. I want to start this thing online as well called the Institute of Cognitive Stupidity, where people can send in their true anecdotes of what they find they do or they're asked to do in their job that they know is dumb.
And there seems to be more and more of that, in particular in the more technologically advanced world.
Exactly. And I take the view that the value of everybody is should be the same. You know, and if somebody's really, really smart, they're not necessarily going to be clever at something else.
No, there's a talent out there. Everyone's got their place.
Yeah. So, I joke about it in The People's Guide. You know, there are two kinds of people in the world. Those who divide the world are two kinds of people, and those who don't. Which you could also say, there's the clever ones and the stupid ones. And you can easily tell the stupid ones because they're the ones who think they're clever.
Yeah.
You know, you can't really generalize people in that way because there's a whole range of, stuff, sophisticated, much more sophisticated than a computer, the way we're wired as people, the empathy, morality, all the rest of it. So, yeah, what would be interesting is I've devised a kind of game, which I thought, I'd go to game makers in this film and say, can we do this? Can we sort of have an app you can download for 60 pence or something called Desperate Celebrities, where, you can invent an avatar of your own, whatever you want, and then you can play red carpet, use your thumbs to sort of nudge rivals out the way off the red carpet to get the photo opportunity and points. If you get enough points, you get voted into a luxury villa in Supreme World, and then you get set the questions about solving the world's problems. And but it's whether the game is the structure of the internet capable of, if enough people wanted to say yes or no to something, would it collapse? Mm-hmm. Because it's only wires. Internet is only wires going under the oceans, and we've got this. We think we're top of. We don't think enough about what we think about either. So basically, I want to do it in a fun way, but it kind of informative as well, and it should be entertaining.
And where is your outlet for this? Have you got anyone signed up to take it at the moment, or are you still just going to the funding stages and creativity section?
Yeah, well, we're not making it along the ways that a businessman would do it. We'll get some suits, we'll get some money up front, and we'll attract a lot of people in a certain demographic and make fortunes and go and live in an island. No, we're just trying to do it bit by bit, because the toys, I call them, the technical bits and pieces, are so much cheaper.
Yeah.
And you can actually get it. And I just want people talking, Mm-hmm. I think talk to Tim Berners-Smith, because he's and a philanthropist in a way. He didn't make money out of the designing, making the internet. Mm-hmm. So there are people out there who sort of, are doing altruists, You can say what you like about altruism, it's all true.
So basically, probably the best way of doing this is to track you down on your website, follow you on there, and see where you're looking for posts on this sort of thing coming out.
There will be something coming out. My own website is sort of still under construction, really, because I tell you why, there's no incentive, because a girl called Bonnie Rose in California for the past 10, 15 years has been running a fantastic site called neolinist.org, Words of Inspiration, with her friend Laurie Stevens. And they built this fantastic website up, and that's a fun place to visit.
You enjoy that as well.
Well, I need it.
Little gentle reminder.
She's put all the words up there, there's chords up there, there's all bits and pieces. She's done a fantastic history of the Guinness Book of Records, mm-hmm. and talking to Ian Keel and everything. It's wonderful. It's a labour of love. And I couldn't be more appreciative.
And you couldn't pay for something like that, could you? Not to have you done with that sort of passion.
No, but I'm not in it for number one. I'm in it for sort of, because I'm curious. I just want to know, does it just have to be this awful all the time? Because I don't know about you, but it doesn't seem to be any rush out there for the meek to inherit the earth. It's time, we sort of, the meek got themselves organised a bit.
Have a plan. That would be a good start.
That would be a good start.
So give us the web address for your own site and as well.
Well, at the moment, mine's changing from InnisBookOfRecords.com. That's still there. And if and yes, the other thing is, you know, if you want discs or any kind of thing like that, I'm not in shops. I'm really sick and tired of, you know, the white-collar crime of the big music industry, you know, thing. I've got some...
Well, you have been in this industry for at least the last 50-something years. I think Jade is allowed at that point.
Well, they are crooks, and I'm not having crooks wagging their finger at me, so I'm doing anything I want. I forgot to mention, you know, so if you want to buy anything, I've got the box set out at the moment of all the back catalogue, and a free DVD with some very, very good Innis Book of Records clips on it, best quality we can find, and some of the solo things, and if you want the internet, but the new one that's coming up, it will be Neil at neilinnis.co.uk. Mm-hmm. But I am working as hard as anything, you know, when I've stopped this and doing the one-man shows, I am recording my memoirs, my audio memoirs, mm-hmm. called How Sweet to Be an Idiot, and it isn't just about what I did and who I met, but it's also about how we think, and a playful examination of that. The embryo has a voice. The embryo turns into the subconscious, mm-hmm. and it resents the fact that he doesn't get the decision making that he sort of can influence. So it's got drama going there. It's going on in everyone. You know, I like the idea of the id and the superego and the ego. Mm-hmm. You know, it seems to me that. I think they're testing the bass drum. If you're wondering what that is, it's not God getting angry. No, but the simple ways, in simple terms, the ego is us, right? The id is the one that sort of says, "What's the most I can have?" Mm-hmm. And the superego is the one that says, "Now, sufficient unto the day. What will the neighbours think?" So all our lives, you know, is like a long car journey with a mother-in-law and a small child in the back seat.
Wow, that was going to explore its way onto the internet. So go via your website and you can find out what's going on, pick up the details, and then get that appropriately on a real hard CD, let alone...
I'm looking at the options of downloading, because mm-hmm. I'm thinking of doing it in installments, like half-hour installments, because there'd be hours of this, really. I've done 2 years' work, and I'm still not quite sure of the absolute... opening. You've got to get the opening right, and then they've got to be kind of standalone. I'm learning a lot from watching Breaking Bad, actually.
Well, most of the production of various illicit substances. No, not that bit.
No. The fact that, you know, if the thing is interesting enough, and you don't, you know, lose in faith, or you get involved.
Yeah.
You need to get involved, and so it's how to get it involved in a way without it being too pompous or boring or whatever, or too tricky. So I'm on the verge of getting that right. Mm-hmm. And because that's the other thing, you know, when you're making things, you know, you think you know it's right, and then you start to believe it's right, but you've got to wait until you know it's right, and then you can do it. So I'm on the verge of knowing it's right.
I can never work out with your output, because having seen bits and pieces of it throughout my life, the way it comes across is it's always exactly spot on when it hits the market, the people, the stage, however it works. And do you spend time working on that, or does it just happen for you? I mean, I'm guessing you seem like a hard worker.
I work at it. I take pains. I think it's almost like being, you know, a bit anal, really. You can't let it go. That's not quite right. I'm taking even longer to write mm-hmm. songs. I mean, it's about 4 or 5 years to write this thing. And it started off, I thought of a line, you know, her décolletage was so double garage, you know. And then finally it came to me to write this stupid song about a Tierra Way called Diego, who lived in Tierra del Fuego.
and you just cause yourself problems when you're trying to deliver this.
I know, but I mean, I don't know. I wait, I have it, I have the tune and everything. And Yvonne, my wife, you know, says, when are you going to finish that song? You know, she's sort of on the brain, you know, the song. Anyway, we did it, and we did it with the Idiot Bastard Band. But in 2003, I was in Melbourne, the Comedy Festival, and a table sort of in the pavement down the road from all these bars and things like that, I overheard a young Australian girl, you know, I so don't care. And I thought, that's great, that's not just don't care. It's I so don't care, you know. I must write a song about that. So I've just done it.
Okay.
10 years later.
You got around to it. Yeah. Thank you for taking the time out to talk to us.
Jason, you're welcome. I got to rest this voice really. You have a lemon tea.
Yeah, you do the lemon tea and then gig later. That should all be good.
Yeah.
But so we look forward to seeing whatever else you bring out, because it'll be mad probably knowing you.
All right, let's do a first podcast handshake.
Okay, right. Thank you. Let's get on with it.
Hear that?
Just about. Cheers. Thank you again.
Cheers.
Let's take our first track from our feature band this week. It's All Thought Out with The Anthem. Train wreck or a car crash. Won't step in line, I'm not my own worst enemy. Play the song with a f***ing melody. Bring back all the good times. A summer's past and long lost memories. Take it back, all the bullshit and the problems. Listen up for where we say. Got 6 things and melodies to say. We'll stand our ground and nothing's gonna stop us. I got the friends that help me carry on this way. This time I'm gonna do things differently. Now held down by only hope is tragedy. Who said that we were gonna stumble? Not make it past the first hurdle. We've been officially pwned by punk since 2008. This is the end. We won't fall down. We'll shine through with the lights off. I got the 6 things out of melodies to say. We'll stand our ground and nothing's gonna stop us. Got the friends that help me carry on this way.
Thought Out with The Anthem from the EP You're Welcome. And joining us on the phone now, we have Alex Hadley from the band. Hello.
Yes, hello there. You all right?
I'm good. How are you?
Yes, I'm fine, thank you.
Good. So you have a pop punk sound. Who's making it?
We're a four-piece band. It's mainly run from me and Mog, the guitarist. That's where we're the brains behind the outfit.
Yep.
So the original idea will start with me and Mike, where we just play off guitars with each other, and then we'll draw the melody from that, and then we'll take that to Ben and Scott, the bassist and drummer, and then the track come from there.
And when you're coming down to the drums track, that must be an interesting one, trying to put together the whole punk sound.
Oh yes, definitely. It's that kind of short, sharp, punchy, upbeat tempo that we that typical punk bands used to have. And so yes, but then we kind of like to infuse with that kind of pop structure to them sometimes. So it adds that overall pop punk twist to the tracks.
What kind of music would you compare yourself to? What kind of bands out there who people think you could liaise with?
Probably the most popular one is probably Blink-182. They're probably the biggest band in the genre. But we have been compared to bands like All Time Low. We've got Newfound Glory, who are dominating the pop punk scene at the meet, and the up-and-coming bands as well, like the Wonder Years and things that we're also being compared to.
So I haven't quite recovered from not hearing anything from Sum 41 recently. Well, there we go. So it is that sort of, you know, upbeat feel. And it's a good genre to be in, as it were, because you can actually enjoy your music, really, can't you?
Oh, yes, definitely.
You haven't got to be full of angst or anything. You can actually go out there and make a good tune.
We're not the angry kind of people. We're much more happy with just having a laugh on stage and just enjoying the music and the crowd.
Any gigging much at the minute?
Yes, we are, actually. We're doing a couple of gigs over the next month, but we're mainly focusing on getting our next EP, Glory Days, ready, which is looking for a January release. So we're busy writing a recording at the minute for that. But yes, we're just doing a couple of odd shows here and there just to keep our foot in the door, as it were.
Do you think pop punk can rise in the UK? I know there's been some misconceptions about pop bands who have been trying to, you know, see themselves as pop punk, like the Busteds and the Flies.
Yeah,
given the wrong impression to that scene. Do you think the true kind of pop punk scene can come through and be as big as it is in America in the UK?
Yes, I think it is. I think it's starting to, anyways. I think, obviously, like, you've got the McFlys and the Busteds and those guys. As much as they were brilliant musicians, I think it did kind of tarnish the pop punk label as it was, because there's a lot of hard working bands out there who were taking it from the American scene but putting their own nice British twist on it. So underground wise, I hate to use the term underground, but that underground wise, it's definitely started to pick up some momentum with the likes of Unit 6 and things as well. That's kind of helping the unsigned pop punk scene.
And you're actually based around Wolverhampton?
Yes, we are. Yeah, we're local boys. We're from just outside Wolverhampton, just down along the New Road from Cowsley. But Wolverhampton is definitely our hometown.
And I know you're doing a lot of work on your EPs at the moment, but you tend to find you're trying to do some covers as well when you're in a live set, just to get the audience interest before they, you know, hit them with your own tunes.
Oh yeah, definitely. We've always liked to drop in a couple of covers, live and both recorded. I think we do more acoustic recorded covers that we do on our YouTube channel and things. Like you said, just to get people listening to the music, because I think not everybody necessarily is into the genre. So it's quite nice to put a twist on more popular songs.
Do you need a round of tracks? That could be quite amusing.
Oh, well, no, yeah.
do something weird with something. Or maybe some Britney Spears, maybe.
I could definitely see us pulling off a Britney Spears song.
It's a bit of an hybrid, isn't it?
I think it'd be a definite improvement, but there we go. Right, so where are you gigging in the near future then? What have you got coming up that we can plug date-wise?
We've got three dates coming up in October, actually. We're playing on the 13th of October, we're playing at the Lamp Tavern, which is down in Dudley. We're headlining that for a pop-punk night.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the 18th of October, I think we're playing at the New Hampton Arts Centre in Wolverhampton.
Very well.
So that's quite a local one. And then we've got quite a big date on the 25th of October supporting a band called Orange, who are heading over from the US of A. They're coming to play the Academy 3, and we've been chosen to support those on their Birmingham leg of the tour, so that's quite a big one. And other than that, I think that's kind of it for dates. I think we're keeping ourselves locked away and heading into the recording studio until next year.
OK, well, so where can people buy the music then as you release it out into the wild?
Well, at the minute, we do have all our music is available on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon, the typical kind of online retailers. You can purchase it through there, but we do also, at the minute, we're offering Your Welcome for free on our Bandcamp. And we're kind of just releasing things more so through Bandcamp, just because it allows just more of a connection with the band, as it were. You get it for free. You get more out of it, I think, rather than going through the typical online retailers. So, it's either Bandcamp or just any of the online retailers, really.
And sometimes it's not really geared towards making money through the likes of some of the big names. You're better off actually having that connection, getting your audience to listen to the music and then come along to your gigs and spend with you that way, because they'd buy a T-shirt or something, won't they?
Oh, yeah, well, definitely, yeah. Like you said, through iTunes and things, there's a lot of hidden fees involved that you don't find out about until the last minute. But Bandcamp's a brilliant platform because, obviously, you can get on there and it's up to you then. The money kind of goes directly into the band's pocket and helps us produce more music and get out there a bit more.
Cool. Well, we're going to hear some more tunes from you now. What are we taking next?
We'll go a bit stateside with party season, a bit more of an Americana season.
Sun is shining down, we're here to stay all night. The beer begins to flow, the music's cranked so loud. There's not much more, it makes me smile. Don't stop, the party season's ready to begin. Don't stop, get your groove on, the dancers are over here.
Thought out with party season.
I know, David. You are now the guest, as well as you can ask yourself questions at this point.
I know,
okay,
it is very odd for being the guest rather than the presenter.
Well, we'll see. We'll let you join in with the presenting side of things today, so make it a bit more normal for you. So you have a what is described as a fan cast.
Yeah, it's a fan podcast. Mm-hmm. With the name fan cast, really. It's all centred around the universe of Wolves. Officially called Wolves Fancast, and literally it's myself and about three or four other colleagues who I call pundits. Mm-hmm. As we meet every week and discuss everything to do with Wolves, so anything from the latest news, the latest rumours, the matches, how we thought we did, what went well, what didn't go well, previewing the next match and anything else thrown in between.
So are you all season ticket holders?
Most of us are, yes. Yeah.
Or they get along to the games.
Yeah, we most of them do. Some of us try and get to games as much as we can. Mm-hmm. But obviously with today's climate, you try and do what you can.
Yeah. Okay, name check the lot of them.
Well, we've got loads. We've got Luke Regan, Luke Thompson, who are the two Lukes, the comedy duo. Mm-hmm. We've got John Meek and Charlie Mailer, who are both our tacticians, who know so much about the game. It's unreal. And we've also got Graham Large, who is our lover of all things Wolves nostalgia, mm-hmm. who can reel off Wolves history off the tip of his tongue.
Yeah, well, Graham's been in as his rig, so we've met up with some of the team in the past, so we have another one within you in the shape of yourself. And I've known you for over a decade now, which is quite frightening, isn't it?
I know. We used to do a WCR.
Yeah, back in the days of student radio.
Yeah.
I was a bit too old. You were actually a student. And we used to have a bit of a laugh down there then, didn't we?
Yeah, it was good times doing my little, I think it was a Wednesday afternoon radio show I used to do between 2 and 4 in between lectures.
Yeah.
It was good trying to get my angst music out there at the time.
Yeah, played it all and enjoyed it. But it that's sort of giving you a background in this sort of thing. And I know you take the role of the host, and you're not necessarily giving your opinion. You're pulling together everybody else's thoughts during the show.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's been trying to get people on the show. It's quite easy, but it's making sure you get the right mix of people as well. And I've been very lucky in the people who I've brought in who have said they wanted to come on have all not only mixed together well, but their opinions mixed together as well. Obviously, everybody has a different opinion, mm-hmm. but everyone is open to everyone else's opinion.
It's a nice discussion. No one's forced in and saying, no, I'm the only one who's right here.
Yeah, and no one's blank, no, I'm not going to listen to anything you say. Everyone's quite open to what everyone else's thoughts are. And I think you have to be real. You can't just be blanket on something, I think, then, because you know that one day that's just going to come back and bite you. I know we, last season, at one point all kind of agreed that Stephen Hunt had his day at Wolves, and then, despite relegation, went on a six-month spree of amazement, and we had to turn around and say that we were wrong. And I think that's the point of the podcast, is that we're not on there to say we are completely right. We are the definitive fan opinion. We're not.
But you're open to discussion as well, because you've got feedback from your listeners through whether it be your Twitter feed, direct email. They can get in touch with you, can't they?
Yeah, people can be as open about Wolves on our podcast and as critical about us as they want to. They can easily say every week, no, you're completely wrong. What are you talking about? And we will easily say that on the podcast. We're quite open to debate on Wolves and anything to do with Wolves.
And actually, broadcasting these days is a hell of a lot easier for a load of, you know, many different people. Yeah. And you do find there's some podcasts there, and you wonder sometimes, how on earth have these people, and why have they put that together? Yeah. I mean, at least, I mean, in your case, you've got a good background in radio. I mean, is that what got you interested in doing this and having a chance to actually go out there and say? Because it started, 7 years ago initially, didn't it?
Yeah, the first initial incarnation started 7 years ago. I was at the University of Wolverhampton doing media and comms degree. And our lecturer read out this note from an email he got from a company called footballfancast.com. They were looking for podcasts for a variety of teams, and they were obviously looking for a Wolves one. So obviously I emailed the person in charge, and then he put me in contact with a couple of people who he emailed him. And then the three of us for about 9 months of that season, I think it was the second season of Mick McCarthy, mm-hmm. where we missed out on the playoffs by a single goal. We talked about Wolves every week. Our tradition was Monday morning, go to the uni, record it at 10 o'clock, then go over to Jay's Cafe, which is just opposite the University of Wolverhampton, have a full English for £3.50, bargain, and a cup of tea thrown in there as well.
You're on commission now, aren't you?
Yeah. And then go back, edit it up, and then put it online. And then unfortunately, at the end of that university year, we all obviously finished uni, went off and did our own thing. And then a couple of years later, one of the guys who I worked with, we were both volunteering at Beacon, obviously now free radio on the Goal Zone. Mm-hmm. And we both said, let's start it up again. And then from that day, 4 years later, we are where we are now. And I can't believe where we've got to. I can't believe it's still going in some ways.
I've had the same feeling about this one for different reasons, but there we are.
But it's been absolutely fantastic. And, you know, the fan feedback and reaction to the podcast, and I know I just can't believe that people actually just click on it and listen to it every week.
But it's the sort of thing you can't get on radio easily. And the joy of podcasting is, you number one know that everybody who's listening to you wants to hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
So if you,
which is quite surreal at the same time that people actually want to listen to our Wolves. But I think that's like you just said about you don't get it on radio. You listen to a national or local phone in, you're potentially waiting for ages, especially on a national phone in, just to listen to your team, mm-hmm. especially if you're in the lower leagues.
Well, we don't have a radio station for Wolverhampton anymore.
No.
And that's disappointing in itself. There is a community station, but not necessarily providing things in the same way.
Yeah, and I mean, what makes Wolves Fancast, as well as different fan-centred podcasts out there. So unique as well. Just going back to this phone-in thing that you're waiting for ages and ages, unless that team has had a monumental news item, then you're not going to get a piece on there. Whereas, you know, if you're listening to the podcast, all you're going to hear for half an hour, 45 minutes, is just talk about Wolves. And something I always say as well is you could read a news article on Wolves and they say Wolves win 3-0, so-and-so did really well. But how about that left-back who has been not playing for 3 weeks very well? Yeah. Should he be dropped? And that's not discussed.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas on the podcast, all these things that fans are picking up on the game are going to be discussed. And obviously, you know, there's going to be varied opinions. People are going to say, no, he should be in the team. Yes, he should be. But that's the whole point. It's the things that people are missing out on the national front that we're able to talk about.
And do you find you follow some of the message boards as well?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, there's some great Wolves fan sites we post our podcasts on as well, who, you know, very nicely let us post our podcasts on there. There's Monu Mix, Wolves Web Fans Club, Wolves Dash Mad, Wolves Forum, who have some great members, some great debates. So, yes, we definitely go on those forums and see what people are saying, and it obviously helps us influence what our podcasts are about every week. But of course, coming to the Golden Palace every week
mm-hmm.
gives you a lot of inspiration.
Yeah. Where do you actually record?
A lot of listeners probably think we have some kind of high-tech studio, but it's just in my house,
mm-hmm.
in our dining room. My wife,
He's very tolerant,
I'm thinking. Yeah, he's very tolerant. He puts up with it every week, hearing about five lads ranting and moaning potentially about Wolves every week, but it's literally...
But she's going to get that anyway.
Yeah.
So are you sharing that with the wider world? Probably yeah. just helps you vent it a little bit yeah. better.
So it's literally me and the lads in my dining room with a microphone in the middle of the table, just talking about Wolves, getting a cup of tea, maybe a squash in the summer when it's a bit hotter, and just talking about Wolves.
And you've had the opportunity to do some interviews as well with the team, go down to the yeah. training ground, and that sort of interaction from the club must have been good for you to be able to get that. And it's acknowledgement.
Yeah, it's been absolutely fantastic. And I mean, for me personally, it's been a good credit to how it's been built up and how I've been able to get to this point now where we've got a good relationship with Wolves now. And I mean, the first interview where we did, well, video interview we did with Bjorn Sigurdarson, Siggy, was absolutely fantastic. And we did one recently with Jody Craddock for his testimonial, and hopefully there'll be more to come. But I mean, looking at interviews, Twitter is a powerful thing for interviews. We haven't ever kind of, you know, instead of paid someone to do an interview or anything, we've always done it on our own back, and all our interviews have been done because of Twitter, contacting mm-hmm. former players, asking would they be kind enough to spare a few minutes, and they've always been, yes, we'll do that. And then we've interviewed Mike Stowell, Steve Froggatt, Carl Robinson, Rowan Ricketts, all off the back of Twitter. And I think, you know, if you're looking to start up your own podcast or do something for uni or college where you want to try and get a little interview, you know, if you're on Twitter, just ask them. I'm sure, you know, a former player would easily give you a couple of minutes of their time if you had a couple of questions for them.
Yeah, or whatever your area of interest is. If you think you can bring something to it and quiz somebody on something, then yeah, there are people out there who will have
exactly.
a chat with you.
I mean, if you're not, you know, if you're going to go to national celebrities, maybe they won't come back too easy on Twitter because they have so many hundreds of thousands of millions of followers. But somebody in that realm that you know of, I'm sure if you drop them a quick tweet, tell them what you're trying to do, I'm sure they'd help you out.
It's worth a go.
Yeah.
Give us details on where the Fancast can be found.
Well, if you want to listen to it every week, it's on soundcloud.com/WolvesFancast. If you're on social media, at WWFCFancast on Twitter. Facebook is Wolves Football Fancast Show, and click like. Email, if you want to drop us an email, if you've got any requests, wolvesfootballfancast@gmail.com. YouTube, Wolves Fancast, Google+, Wolves Fancast. We're trying to get on many social media platforms.
And iTunes, can you get you on the
Yes. Oddly, you have to search for Wolverhampton Football Fancast to find us on there differently. But we're on iTunes, downloads for free, listen to us on SoundCloud for free. The emphasis, of course, is that we are free. We're not asking you to pay any pennies to listen to us, because why would you have to pay to listen to us every week?
Well, there's a lot of free things out there, but it's for the fans, by the fans.
Yeah, definitely. And that's always will be the case.
And if people do have an opinion and they want to get in touch, you never know, they could even become a regular over time, as long as they don't mind it turning up at your house and drinking your tea and eating your biscuits.
And we're quite open for people to send us their opinions, and we will read tweets out of, you know, really good opinions on the show, and we can even use that as a catalyst to start debate. So you know, your tweet thinking, oh, I'm just going to send this to them, could actually be a catalyst of a big debate on the podcast.
Yeah, and a falling out between friends.
Yeah, exactly.
That'd be good. David, thank you for joining us. You stay here.
All right,
we'll carry on working.
We'll We'll keep speaking.
Okay, that sounds good to me. Right, let's take another tune from our featured band. They are all thought out. This is Coming Home.
By All Thought Out.
Now we go back to the phones where we find the mayor of Wolverhampton, Milkinder Jaspel. Hello, sir.
Hello there.
How are you?
Fine, thank you, Jason.
Good stuff. Now, this coming Thursday, it all turns to cakes, doesn't it? Because you have a special cake baking event where funds are going to the MS Society.
That's right. It's going to be a very interesting and sweet day.
Okay. Now, people can actually bring in cakes to be sold at this event. It all takes place in the Civic Centre. So all gets going at 10 a.m. on Thursday the 12th of September, and it runs through till 3 o'clock. So are you baking cakes yourself for this one?
I wish I was, but I'm not that skilled. I haven't got that talent, actually, to bake. But what I'm asking is leading, and it's a, sort of a request, really, is for people who would like to use their baking skills, or inviting them to really bake something tasty so that it can be sold at the cake break session.
Are there any particular guidelines, specific types? Do you ring up and say you want to make biscuits? Or what do people have to do if they do want to get involved?
We would welcome anything and everything, actually, within reason, of course. But basically, the issue really is to promote the MS Society and make a bit of money at the same time for them, Jason, because it's a worthwhile charity, it's a worthwhile cause. And a lot of people, I think, will be interested in doing something for the charity.
It's a way of making cash, and they are one of your chosen charities, which we'll talk about in a short while's time. If you do want to bake a cake, you do need to get it to the Civic Centre early on Thursday morning.
Yeah, before 10 o'clock, actually, so then we can get everything in place by 10:30. And it's really from 10:30 till 3 p.m. on that day.
So will you be around to actually serve cake on the day?
Indeed, I will be popping in. I do have a couple of other commitments, but I shall be there on and off.
In fact, you'll be popping back for cake, probably.
No, I've got to look after my figure, actually.
You'll be in trouble otherwise. OK, I believe you. Thousands wouldn't. So if you do want more information, you can actually contact the Mayor's office for that one on 01902 554090, and you can also find out more about the MS Society at mssociety.org.uk. They are one of your three chosen charities, and you have another event where baking is involved, because you can actually come along and enjoy a cup of tea, a biscuit and a cake, and listen to a piano recital as well.
That's right. Again, we're trying to invite people to the Mayor's Parlour and have a sort of a break. We will give them afternoon tea, coffee, and like you say, cakes, biscuits, in aid of the various charities, actually. Again, it's a worthwhile cause. I would invite and welcome people coming along to the Mayor's Parlour. And can I say, Jason, it's also interesting, while they're having coffee and tea or biscuit or whatever, they can have a look around the Mayor's Parlour as well, and there's a lot of interesting items on display in the Mayor's Parlour.
Now, I've interviewed about 5 or 6 different mayors in my time, and never once have I succeeded in actually getting along to anything in the Mayor's Parlour, so I will try and pop in if I get the opportunity. But this one starts at 2:15, and it's priced at £7.50 per person, and this involves a performance as well on the piano.
Yes, I mean, it's sort of background, and they were very keen to take part, and I certainly welcome them providing and getting involved in the charity sessions, Jason. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because your performer is Adam Sheen, who's actually played piano since he was 6 years old. Don't know how old he is now. He might be 7 and a half. But he's a former member of the Yamaha Music School and has enjoyed numerous performances as a soloist and has accompanied various bands and orchestras. So it's a good chance to see a great talent from the city performing too.
Definitely.
So tell us a little more about the charities that you're supporting. Obviously, the MS Society, and we've also got St. Peter's Collegiate and the Guide Dogs too.
That's right, yeah. It was very difficult, as you can appreciate, as a mayor. We get a lot of requests from various charities and groups, and I have to say, they are all worthwhile causes. They do a lot of good work for various individuals in the community. So it was a very difficult decision for me as the incoming mayor to decide and pick just sort of 2 or 3. And like you say, at the end of the day, I decided to pick 3. And I went for the MS Society, St. Peter's Church, and the Dogs for the Blind. The reason why I picked St. Peter's was interesting because St. Peter's Church is the heart of the city. It's in the center of the city. It's got very close connections to the local authority. But like I said, it is the heartbeat of the city. And I looked into the background and the history, and it had never actually been chosen as a charity by previous mayors. And I don't know whether you're aware, a couple of years, they put a grant in to light up the church. I was really impressed with that. And then 18 months ago, when I was talking to David Wright, the vicar, the funding was running out, and I thought, we need to do something to help the church. So that was in my mind when I picked up the St. Peter's Church earlier this year to help them and get them back on their feet, because it's like many churches in our societies and communities where the attendance has been gradually falling down and then the income has reduced. Hence the reason why I wanted to do something for the church.
And the MS Society, it's the Black Country branch that you're helping to support. Do you have links with them?
I didn't have any links, but I read a lot about their work. And I thought, well, you know, the MS Society, there's a lot of people who suffer that, like a lot of other issues in our society. But it sort of, I felt, again, they were doing a lot of good work and I needed to help and promote them. And hence the reason why. There's no specific reason, but I just felt that they did a lot of good work previously, and I just wanted to continue along the same route in regard to them. And Dogs for the Blind, again, I thought, well, you know, if we picked them as a charity, we would help them as much as possible, because they were actually putting a lot into our society, and as you're probably aware better than me, that the dogs do make a difference.
Well, I grew up watching Goldie on Blue Peter, so that takes me back to when I was a kid, hearing about the guide dogs for the blind, and obviously it is the centre of their life. Where these animals, they are their eyes, and can help them around and allow them to get out into the city and feel confident in what they're doing. So if somebody is partially sighted or blind, it can be an essential lifeline for them, isn't it?
It is, actually, Jason. And, you know, there's a lot of, like I said, there's a lot of other good worthwhile causes. But with the Dogs for the Blind and the MS Society, the funding, the money raised is used instantly. I mean, we got, you know, the cancer groups, a lot of the research groups. But for research charity organisations, the funding takes sort of some time to get to the individual. With the MS Society and the Dogs for the Blind, the money raised is spent straight away. Mm-hmm. So that's what sort of made me choose these two charities in particular.
Well, good luck with the fundraising you have in the remainder of your mayoral year, which runs through until May of 2014, so plenty of time to get the cash in, and there'll be many more events. If you do want to find out more, wolverhampton.gov.uk/news, and you can find it all about what's coming up and taking place, whether it be within the Mayor's Parlour or when we let you out and about and you're doing things on the streets of Wolverhampton.
Definitely.
Okay, good speak to you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Jason.
Cheers. Drive now.
Bye-bye.
Right, let's take our final tune from the band today. It's All Thought Out with You Might Hate It.
Look, my, you hate it.
all thought out, and you might hate it. You're not going to hate anything our next guest does. He's Ty Matthew Harris.
Hello.
Hello, and you're back again. What's going on? Come on, what's been happening in your world recently?
What would you like to know,
James? Well, you look like you've been out in the sun, for starters.
That was this weekend. It's very sunny. I did a charity event called Relay for Life this weekend, over in Worcester for Cancer Research UK, I think it is.
Yeah,
definitely for cancer research. So yeah, I got a bit sunburnt. It didn't rain, which was good. For the whole 24 hours, it didn't rain.
You made some money for some charity. That's all that counts.
Exactly.
And you've got lots of stuff coming up on stage, including some of your own productions, but we'll go through the ones that aren't your productions first, because you're appearing with West Bromwich Operatic again at the Grand, aren't you?
Yeah, that's the 24th to 28th in Full Monty.
You don't take your clothes off in this?
I do not take my clothes
Which is quite unusual for you, because most productions you tend to take your clothes off.
Generally, that was the rule as it stands. Not by choice.
You've cast yourself in roles that require you to take your clothes off in the past.
I've cast myself. I've just been cast in them.
What else have you got coming up as well? Because, say, is it two things that you've been doing at the minute?
Yeah, a couple of weeks after that, the 8th to the 12th, I'm in Carousel at the Grand with Say Staff's Musical Theatre Company, where I'm playing Billy Bigelow.
Now that sounds again like there's some sort of innuendo involved, at least.
No, it's not at all. Carousel's quite an old show. It's a Rodgers and Hammerstein show. So it's different for me in regards to shows that I do, because I usually do quite modern ones, but I'm doing an old school one this time, which Carousel means a lot to me, because it was the first show I actually ever did when I was 12.
Mm-hmm. Not that long ago then.
No, it's only 10 years ago. I'm only 22. Only 22. But now to go back to it as the lead in it, it's been quite means a lot to me, so yeah, fingers crossed it'll be good.
What's your thoughts on the West End at the minute? What's the best thing to go see? If you were going to say to somebody, right, go see this show, what would it be?
I don't know, you know. That's a tough question, actually. I really personally want to see The Bodyguard that's on at the moment. I've heard very, very good things about that. But
isn't Beverly Knight in that one?
She's just gone into it, I believe.
It's the first night tonight, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Is it tonight?
Yeah.
I shall have to check her Twitter feed.
Yeah.
I've saw some clips and she does sound quite good, but I did like the girl who played it first, so I'm gutted I didn't get to see her, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know as well, one of my favourite ever musicals is like off West End at the minute. So I don't know whether it's like a pro-am company or a professional company, but they're doing like a 6-week run of Bonnie and Clyde, is a Frank Wildhall musical. So it's the guy who wrote Jekyll and Hyde has also wrote Bonnie and Clyde.
Okay.
Weird.
Confused? You will be. So what else you got other than Carousel on the way?
A week Saturday, we'll be at the Arena Theatre again with my company.
Oh, this is your company? Oh, this one is you? Company. Oh, hence the Nine Productions.
No, I've got my little hoodie on.
Yes.
Yeah, which is Nine Productions. We've got a concert coming up to raise money for our next show, which is called A Broadway Love Story. It's basically like little sections of five different musicals, and then the last section's a bit of a musical free-for-all. But it's at the Arena Theatre. We've got a 2:30 p.m. show and a 7:30 p.m. show on Saturday. So it's Saturday the 21st. I think it is. I should know that, shouldn't
I? Saturday is the 21st. I know that much.
Yeah, so we're doing...
I can't come. I'm in Singapore.
You're always away, Jack.
I know, it's a nightmare, isn't it?
I don't know whether to believe you. I think you're just recycling photos. You see that out of things now.
It's a lifestyle of doing a podcast. You get paid all these.
Exactly. I will be podcasting from Singapore. I said, I want to do an out there. I actually want to try and meet up with Susie Perry, who's there presenting the Grand Prix, but she's ignored my text so far. So I've got to have a word with her on that one. See what I can say to her.
Send her a couple of tweets. She'll come back.
Might do the job. So on that one, how do people get tickets? Contact the Arena Box Office.
The Arena Box Office. On? Which? Is
01902 321 321.
You know it better than I do.
And have a chat with them.
And you can also get them through the website, which I think it's arenatheatre.info, which I will know for sure.
We can go to arena.wlv.ac.uk as well, I think. But
yeah, it is
streaming off all these websites.
Arenatheatre.info.
Yeah,
you can get there, and obviously it's a couple of weeks, so you'll see our little e-flyer and stuff.
So you're going to be on the boards outside as well.
I really don't.
Is there a poster
with that? The girl who I run the company with, she deals with the...
She does that PR side of things.
She's the technical manager, so I wouldn't... How I've lasted without that girl, I will never know. She's amazing.
She's
a godsend.
I'm sure you've probably been asked this question loads and probably on this podcast already, but what kind of advice would you give for young kids trying to get into...
He's still a young kid. He's 22.
I'm 22. I don't know. It's just... It's one of them things. Especially being a lad, like, you've got a stigma attached to doing musicals when you're younger, especially when, like, your school age and stuff. I think you just got to, if it's something that you love and something that you're passionate about, regardless of what anybody says, you've just got to do it. And it's...
Well, you do enjoy a good sing-song.
I love a good sing-song, but, like, it is a good outlet as well. I'd suggest, like, to any parent to get their kids into it, because like the social side of it as well, like all of my closest friends do it as well.
And as we've said before, when there's normally less boys than girls at these things.
Yeah, definitely.
So it's a good dating circle here when you're 15, yeah. 16. You can find some...
Very true.
Yeah.
A lot of people end up getting married, actually. There's mm-hmm. like a fair yeah. few couples that are in the amateur.
Well, we must come. I'm sure we've heard of tales of that sort of thing. And you've done some stuff with them in the past as well.
Yeah, yeah. I've got... they start Grace, I think.
Are you in that one?
I'm going to do it as a dancer, I think, but I'm doing it with... I've got Danny Zuko with West Brom, mm-hmm. Which I'm doing that in November.
So you are doing Greece, but...
Yeah, so 4 Monty closes, and then I start Greece, but then I also start the show I'm producing, which is our next show in February, which is Sideshow.
Right.
But then a week after that, I go into Carousel, to then go into Greece in November... to then do a Christmas concert, to then do Sideshow. It's just, it's very busy.
You're
isn't
you're fully
so,
booked.
So when's the Christmas concert then?
We haven't decided yet. We're not doing one. No, we've been asked by Beacon Centre for the Blind to do another one, I think.
That was good fun.
At Christmas.
Yeah. Do you need me for that one or not?
What you say?
Do you need me at that one? Because I had to do the last Beacon Centre for the Blind when I came along to.
That was a good night, though, that was.
We had a laugh. Yeah, and sadly, I got in the Expression Star as well. I hate having my picture taken, but I was trying to get out of it. But
if
we
do another one there, Jason, you will be there.
Do I get to be?
If you're in the country.
If I'm in the country, well, we'll work out when it is. I might be in Australia. But we'll see what we can do.
Depending on the type of places as well, mate.
Well, it does make sense. No, everything Tide does is always good stuff. It's well worth getting along to. And there should be some Christmas numbers in there as well as. Maybe some musicals too.
Hopefully it's not been, we've not finalised anything yet though. We were in talks about it a while ago, but it hasn't been brought up yet, but regardless, there's one or two things that will be around then, I think, anyway. But like our main focus really is our concert. We need to get out the way, and then we recently had auditions for our next show, which is in February the 1st and 2nd at the Arena,
which will be
Sideshow the musical,
which is what I've never heard of that one.
See, it's,
I don't do many musicals, to be fair.
It is, it's not known. Like, we are very, very, very lucky to get the rights to it, because we've got it off a company called Samuel French, mm-hmm. which basically is an English agent, but they get it through an American agent, because it was on Broadway in 1997, I believe it was. People all know, musical theatre people know, Norm Lewis was one of the original cast members, which was Javert in the 25th Les Mis anniversary concert, which was on DVD not so long ago.
Mm-hmm.
But it's basically it's kind of the life story of Daisy and Violet Hilton, who were Siamese twins, and it's about their rise to fame in the 30s. So it spans the Freak Show, where they came from.
Now, doing that and being appreciative of the story without turning it into a circus sideshow on its own must be quite an interesting one.
It's going to be interesting for me. Like, one of the reasons I wanted to do it is because this is the third show that I've directed. Well, if without the concert, but the last two shows that I've done, Rent was, I couldn't have asked for anything more. It was phenomenal. Like, the reviews we had were amazing.
Wasn't in the country
yeah. Again, shock horror.
I saw the last one though, the one before that.
And
I remember
Bear was brilliant, but they were both relatively modern, and I feel like this gives me a chance to maybe come across a bit more versatile in what I'm directing and stuff. And it is a story that has grabbed me. Like, I only got introduced to it in April, and since April I've listened to the soundtrack like countless amounts of times. I've read the script, I've looked into the characters and stuff, and it's something that, you know, it's like, it's not known, it's not been done by anybody before. Do you know what I mean? And I feel like it's my way of putting a stamp on something new, and it's what I want to do. I don't want to, I'm not one of these that wants to go on YouTube and just copy what I see. I want to do it the way that I see it, the way that I want it done, and the way that I feel like I can do the most justice to it, if that makes sense.
Let's face it, over the next 3, 4, 5 years, you need to be making a living at this.
I'm auditioning for drama schools this year to do a postgraduate.
Because nearly did it a couple of years ago. You got a place, but it just didn't work out financially, didn't it?
It was because I'd gone straight through school to college to uni, and I'm from like a single parent household and stuff like that. It was financially, I just couldn't do it. It's so expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Some kids are lucky enough to have parents that can support them, but I just couldn't afford to do it. So fingers crossed next year, after working and saving, hopefully I can go.
Working, saving and doing shed loads of production.
And doing a lot of production.
you'll turn up there with more experience than you will have had by the time you've finished. In fact, you'll probably go along and they'll be going, well, yeah, okay, do you want to do us a lecture? And you may be able to make some cash that way.
I've got a lot to learn still, mm-hmm. a hell of a lot to learn. But that's what the fun is as well. It's like, I've got a lot of bad habits that I need correcting. Which is what the course is all about making me a better performer and stuff. And it's It's what I want, so it's what I'm going to do.
Well, I know what you do. Crossed. Do comes out well. Yes. I left a long gap in there just so it made sense. But so give us a few websites where people can find out about what you're up to.
We have got our own website, but I don't actually know what it is.
Google okay. Nine Productions, yeah. Is that what we're saying?
No, well, I don't know.
It's not your side of things, is it?
No, it really
just
isn't.
Put Nine Productions in Google and put I'm feeling
lucky. We've got, if you put us in on Facebook, you will find us on Facebook. We've yep. got our own Facebook page set up and everything. Which
or just search for Ty Matthew Harris on Facebook and make friends with him.
Or make friends with me or send me a message. We are looking for new members for our next production. Mm-hmm. So if anybody out there is listening that wants to...
And you looked at both of us then. I think
that, well, we are needing lads.
Yeah, so you need fat old bald men.
I'll get my top hat ready.
No, it's we do need some more lads and stuff like that. So, but it is going to be amazing. Like judging by our last one, which I know I'm a bit biased, but like the reviews we had were absolutely way more than I could have asked for. So, yeah. If anyone wants to get involved in that sort of thing, then
get in touch. Okay, we'll look forward to that, and we'll get you in to talk about it once you've got that sort of done.
Definitely.
Okay, and I'll probably see you at Christmas. If not definitely. Before, on stage somewhere, because you're always on stage somewhere in around Wolverhampton. Yeah. So
apparently
thank you for joining us.
I've got an interview booked in with you soon.
Have you?
For Carousel.
Have you?
Apparently. Your name is on the leaflet I've been given with like all the interviews and stuff we've got to do for Billy.
Right. Okay.
I've been told.
I shall look forward to speaking to you about that then. Okay, that's all good. I know nothing. My producer does this sort of stuff and I haven't got the foggiest what's happening. You see, you have people to remember websites for you and I have people looking after me, Jan.
She does
thank
a lot
you.
More than remember websites. she's amazing.
There's the job. Cool. Ty, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Cheers. David, thank you for joining us too.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me.
Been good to have you here as a guest and as a co-host, yeah. And we will drag you back at some point.
Feel free to.
Okay, you're now, because we've got a set of official standings, as you, the Stiv, Nina if she can get here, but I'll be back for episode 221 next week, and hopefully Zoe will be well then. You should feel free to pop in if you feel
yeah,
like it, Dave.
Yeah, it'll be good.
Okay, cool. Well, thanks for joining us, and we'll be back soon. Ta-ra for now.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye from the milk bar. 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 Yeah. Goodbye from the milk bar. Yeah.